In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Scripture testifies, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This statement would have been plainly obvious to the average Israelite, for whom worship in the tabernacle, and later the temple, was a fiery, bloody event. By faith, that Israelite knew that only those bloody sacrifices offered at the tabernacle and temple could allow that man to stand before God. For those sacrifices covered his sin. Sin rendered the average Israelite, and indeed all Israelites, and all people for that matter, profane and unclean. Separated from God. And therefore, they needed to be purified. They needed to be sanctified in order to enter into God's presence. And the only way that was possible was through blood. In his mercy, God gave the people of Israel the rites and rituals, the sacrifices they needed in order that the blood would be shed. In order that atonement would be made for their souls, for as the Lord declared, it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. And so the blood was shed day after day after day, multiple times throughout the day, in fact, and that constant, daily, ongoing sacrificial system served as a reminder to that average Israelite, to all the people, of the deadly wages of his sin. By watching all those bulls and goats and lambs slain and offered on the altar, burned up by the fire, it was a reminder of the serious nature of sin. And so when that average Israelite brought an animal to be slain on his behalf, in his place even, the Israelite acknowledged his guilt. He acknowledged that he had fallen short of the glory of God. He acknowledged God's righteous judgment against him, a transgressor. But he also acknowledged by faith that God had instituted means for the forgiveness of his sins. The atoning sacrifice. Again, these sacrifices were offered day after day after day, constantly throughout the life of the people of Israel. But one day stood above all the rest, a day of which we heard just this evening in our first lesson from Leviticus, the Day of Atonement. On this day and on this one day, each year, only on this one day, the high priest would pass from the holy place into the most holy place, into the Holy of Holies, going through that veil through which no other man could enter on no other occasion. And there, before the Ark of the Covenant, in which rested the Ten Commandments and Aaron's staff and the manna, the high priest would offer sweet-smelling incense and the blood of the sacrifice to purify, to make atonement for himself, for the tabernacle itself, and for the people. By the covering of the incense, by the sprinkling of the blood upon the mercy seat, that is the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, the high priest made atonement. He had to, because of all the uncleannesses and transgressions of the Israelites. In this, atonement was made for their sins, cleansing them from their impurities. The ritual would end, and life would go on. But then the next year, that Day of Atonement would be observed again. And the year after that, and again and again and again, year after year after year, the high priest once each year going into the most holy place, offering a sacrifice for the sins of the people. But all of these sacrifices offered day after day, year after year, they dealt only with food and drink and various washings. They only dealt with the regulations of the body. They could never really make perfect those who would draw near to God. They were just a shadow, a foreshadowing of the good things to come instead of the true form of those realities. And so the prophet Isaiah spoke of a greater sacrifice still to come. He spoke of the servant of the Lord who would offer his own life as a guilt offering for the people, who would bear the transgression of his people in his own body, who would pour out his own life unto death and be counted among the transgressors, even though he alone was righteous. These promises spoken through Isaiah and the rites of the tabernacle and the temple, all those sacrifices found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, who offered himself once and for all on that perfect, final day of atonement, the day we know as Good Friday. And by his own precious blood, he gained an eternal redemption for all mankind. Alone, Jesus Christ suffered death. Alone, he redeemed his people from transgressions and sin. Alone, he became the mediator of a new covenant. He truly is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as the Lamb of God, he was made to be sin for us, in order that we who were once profane and unclean in our transgressions might be purified and sanctified, reconciled unto God, and made righteous in his sight. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross is far greater than all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. For he, the high priest, is greater, the sacrifice he offered is greater, and the covenant he established is greater. As he, our great high priest, is far greater than all the high priests who came before him. In the first place, he is of a greater lineage. All the other high priests of the Old Testament came from the tribe of Levi, from which every priest came. But Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, the tribe of the kings. How is it then he could be a priest and still of the tribe of Judah? We heard in our psalm, and it's quoted in Hebrews. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Levi, from whom all the other priests came, through his ancestor Abraham, paid homage to Melchizedek, paid that offering to Melchizedek, honoring him as superior. And so Jesus is the great high priest, not because he's part of a particular tribe or through blood, but rather because of the power of his indestructible life. Furthermore, he, our great high priest, has greater blessings to give. What was promised and foreshadowed to the Israelites of old is given to us now in reality, in that he has purified not just our flesh, but even our very consciences from dead works. He has purified us by his blood in both body and soul, that we might serve the living God. And all the more, he has passed through a better and greater tabernacle. As we heard, the Jewish high priest would pass from the holy place into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and there he would perform the rite of atonement in God's presence, but again, only once a year for that one ritual. Christ, however, Christ offered himself as the perfect sin offering for the whole world, so that, exalted by God, he would enter into the true heavenly sanctuary with his blood and open the way for us, his brothers and sisters, to enter into the divine presence. Jesus passed through the tabernacle of the heavens in his ascension, that there at the right hand of the Father he might plead his sacrifice on our behalf before God, for he is truly our brother according to the flesh. As we'll hear on Sunday, when our Lord Jesus died, offering himself as that final sacrifice for sin, the veil in the temple that separated the holy place from the most holy place was split in two, torn from top to bottom. Thus testifying that, because of Jesus' self-sacrifice, the way into the Father's presence has been opened. open to all who believe in Jesus. And therefore, we can with confidence draw near to the throne of grace and find mercy to help in our time of need. And our Lord Jesus, as our great high priest, has completed his atoning work. Again, that Jewish Day of Atonement was repeated every year, year after year. But it was not offered by the same high priest. That high priest would change. Because after all, those high priests were all still men, mortal men. They would die, and they would be replaced. But Christ died once for all. His redemption is an eternal redemption, needing no repetition. And because he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, never to die again, he is and shall be the great high priest forever. The sacrifice that he offered is greater as well. The Jewish high priest offered a life lower than his own, that of an animal, a bull, a goat, a ram. But it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Christ offered a better sacrifice, himself, his very blood, to make atonement for sinners. He is, as the church sings, himself the victim and himself the priest. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, becoming obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And therefore, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all, we have been sanctified. Those animal sacrifices were instituted to take away ceremonial uncleannesses, ceremonial profanity. But the sacrifice of the Son of God has the power to cleanse and sanctify you perfectly. Finally, the covenant that Christ has established by his death is greater. Again, the Jewish Day of Atonement annually renewed the people's state of grace as God's chosen people. But by Christ's atonement once and for all, we have the sure and certain pledge of our eternal inheritance in his kingdom of grace and glory. Through baptism, we enter into this covenant. Through baptism, we are declared to be the children of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven forever. Again, Scripture testifies, a testimony that stands then, now, and forever. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But Christ Jesus, the Son of God, shed his blood for your forgiveness. And his blood truly cleanses you from all sin. Through that blood, you who were once far off have been brought near. Through that blood, you who were once profane and unclean in your sins have been now made holy and righteous before God. Your sins, your transgressions have all been covered by the blood of Jesus, which stands eternally. And this is true, most certainly true, for you and for everyone who believes. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.